Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman will spend the rest of his life in a U.S. prison after being sentenced to life plus 30 years in New York. Ariana Farhada Orshan is the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida.
The impact of today's sentence can't be overstated. The world has now been rid of the brutality of the Sinaloa cartel leader.
The FBI's Michael Driscoll.
We want this case to serve as a warning. We are willing and capable to use whatever resources, to use every partnership available to go after the leaders of these cartels and make them pay for the damage they do to our country on a daily basis.
Defense attorney Jeffrey Lichtman said the trial was unfair.
This case was simply an inquisition. It was a show trial, and how it ended is exactly perfect for that description.
CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter.
For more, we turn to the KCBS Ring Central Newsline, where the crimes and court reporter for the New York Times, Emily Poller, is standing by from the courthouse. Thanks a lot for talking to us. You know, the drama was through this thing all the way to the end, including listening to his attorney this morning talking about sociopaths and you know, some of the people that he suggests the prosecution called. It's ironic for him to talk about sociopaths.
Well, sure. I mean, the defendant himself has certainly been called such by many others as well. I think, you know, the drama in the courtroom today was really all the people that we heard from. You know, we didn't know if we would hear from Chapo. He decided to speak. He spoke for about 15 minutes. And then we also heard from a single woman named Andrea Velez, who was the only person to come out and testify as a victim at this sentencing. And she stood alone and addressed the court, saying that Chapo had tried to kill her multiple times and that this was her chance to speak on behalf of many other victims of Chapo's crimes.
What was it like when El Chapo was speaking? Was it being translated?
Yes. So Chapo spoke through a translator. He addressed the judge and he said, "Should I stand?" And the judge said, "No, why don't you stay seated?" So he leaned in his seat towards his translator and spoke softly. He talked about, you know, how much he appreciated his family's support during this difficult time. And then this really was, he could have said anything. This was his last big stage moment, right, to give his side of the story, to explain maybe why he went into drug trafficking or his background or why he was maybe not the sociopath that everybody makes him out to be. And yet he spent most of those 15 minutes talking about the conditions that he had experienced in jail while in Manhattan, his frustration with the American justice system, which he said had been unfair, in not providing him with a jury that was willing to follow the rules. The jury, it came out after the trial had been following media coverage throughout the trial, which is in direct contradiction of what they're supposed to do while they are reviewing evidence.
Yeah, of course. That's one of the rules. I wonder if it would have made a difference, though, if they had a jury that had not been followed.
And that's what everybody said, and that's what the judge ultimately said. He said, you know, Chapo said, "Well, yes, there was overwhelming evidence against me, but I'm supposed to have a fair jury." So, you know, for the 15 minutes, he talked about, you know, not getting a retrial and what he had experienced in jail, which he called torturous.
So what's the takeaway then? I mean, now that this trial is over, are we going to see other cartel leaders going through the same thing? Where does this leave us and leave the drug fight?
Well, you know, after the verdict and then again today after the sentencing, we heard the government sort of repeat the same thing again and again. And they said, you know, he is an example for other people who are looking to follow in his footsteps. Don't do this. You know, if you the links that El Chapo did, if you become this, you know, high-end leader of a cartel, we will bring you down. There, you know, this is the last chapter in his book. This is where his story ends. Don't follow in his footsteps. And yet, what you see is that the Sinaloa cartel is still strong today. Chapo's portion of the cartel is now owned by his sons. Chapo was not the only leader within the cartel. That other leader has never even been arrested. You see that the flow of drugs from Mexico into the United States has increased since Chapo's arrest. So, you know, demand is not going to bring down even a singular criminal enterprise, not to mention, you know, drug trafficking from Mexico into the U.S. in general. So, you know, if you listen to the rhetoric, a lot of progress has been made. If you look at the facts, maybe not so much.
Thanks very much for talking to us. Appreciate it. Emily Puller, courts and crimes reporter for The New York Times.